We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today on Conquering Heroes, we're going to be joined by Kurt Golder as the men's gymnastics team heads to Minneapolis to try and win their 7th national title. And the guy that has been the leader of 4 of those national titles is head coach Kurt Golder on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jensen.
I am now joined on Conquering Heroes by the men's gymnastics coach, a longtime coach, 25 years, and that's Kurt Golder. And Kurt, thanks for joining us. And I know it's been a challenging year for everybody, but how are you holding up? How are your student athletes holding up?
I'm holding up really well, and so are they. They're just, it's a group of troopers, you know. They're just, they just make the best out of every situation. And, you know, like you said, we've had setbacks. We went out to Nebraska and for a dual meet and then had it canceled and had to bus back. And no complaining. It's just that's what we're dealing with these days. And you just be ready to go with the flow.
So you mentioned that that you were canceled in Nebraska, but you're coming off another Big Ten championship, and you guys are preparing for the NCAAs, which will take place this coming weekend. And I want to talk to you about those in just a minute, because you're going in as a very highly ranked team. But just your thoughts, your overall thoughts of this season. I know it's been a challenge, and you mentioned the resiliency of your student athletes, the resiliency of you and your staff. But can you give us some highlights of some different events that just happened along the way that stick out to you?
Well, just the way the guys kept their focus, never celebrated too much after a victory, and they just marched through the season undefeated. And our margin of victory against Big Ten opponents was an average of 13 points. And that's exactly what we won the Big Ten tournament by also. So we've distanced ourselves from the rest of the field. And it's just the highlight would be every single meet, the focus that the guys had. And just, you know, it's like every meet is a business trip. You go, you do your job, and come back and get back to work.
And the points, if you could explain just a little bit, because I know at Big Tens, you guys scored a 411 points, and you had 12 scores at or above the 14 plateau. What does that mean for those of us that don't understand the scoring in gymnastics totally? What does that mean?
Well, what we're doing as the goal, of course, we don't reach it, but that is the goal is to have everybody score a 14 on every event. And if we do that, we're pretty confident that we're going to win a national championship. So what we're doing, the key, I think, is, you know, our top guys are very good. They can score 14s, but it's bringing the fourth and fifth score up, getting as close to a 14 as possible. And that's kind of, that's the magic number. A 14 is somewhat like the old 10-0 used to be. You know, if you the closer you get to that old 10-0, the better off you are.
As close to perfection as possible is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've had some all-stars. And just to name a couple, you've got Cameron Bach, who has been nominated for the Neeson Emery Award. You've got Paul Judah. Just tell us a little bit, what does the Neeson Emery Award, what is it? It, as I understand, it's basically the Heisman Trophy of men's gymnastics. But what would it mean for him to be able to win that award?
Oh, that would be great. And he's very deserving. I think he's the most deserving gymnast in America for that award. And it is, we call it the Heisman of men's gymnastics. And we've only had a couple of them. You know, Sam Mikulic got one, and Justin Thoman, going back to about 2003, I'd say. So they're not easy to get, and he's a very strong candidate. Hopefully he'll win it.
And I do want to talk to you about Sam Mikulic in just a minute, because I know he's preparing for the Olympic Games this coming year, this coming summer. Hopefully they go on as planned, since they're delayed a year. But I do want to talk a little bit more about your team. In regards to this coming weekend, what's the preparation been like? What are you guys doing right now to prepare for the eventual NCAAs in Minnesota?
Well, we just, on Friday and Saturday over the weekend, we did a mock NCAA meet, and we had it judged and did it as official as we possibly can. And just so the guys experience, our sport is very, very difficult physically. And so you get beat up doing 2 days of competition. So we just wanted them to have those 2 days of experience. There's a 23-hour recovery period between it. We'll be competing Friday night at 7 p.m. and then Saturday night at 6 p.m. So I wanted them to experience and learn as much as they can from that situation. So we went through that, and they're all probably pretty sore. And now the next 2 days, we'll just do perfection work, skill perfection work, kind of a little bit lighter, taper a little bit. And then Wednesday we travel, and Thursday we get on the equipment, do a walkthrough and a practice, and Friday night it's go time.
And what's the testing procedure like for you guys? Because that's obviously part of the equation now, is going through all of the COVID testing. What's that procedure like leading up to the events?
Yes, we've been doing it 6 days a week all year long. And today we'll do it again today, and then right when we get off the airplane, we'll go straight to testing. And so we got to test there at 4:20. I think we land at 3:16, and we got to do testing at 4:20. So it's grab your bags, get on the bus, go to testing, and then we'll test every day while we're there. And I don't know that schedule yet.
Now, you've got kind of a wide range of experience on your team. I see that, you know, on the rings, you've got James Reed, who's a senior. You've got a sophomore in Adam Wooten. We already talked about sophomore Paul Judah. How, in an individual sport, I know you guys compete individually. You also compete as a team. How do you generate the support amongst your student athletes for each other, as well as that team atmosphere?
Well, you know, it's from my perspective, it's just all positive coaching. You can always find something right. I try to use the sandwich effect, where you say something positive, then you make the correction, which sometimes is a little bit negative, you know, and then finish off with a positive remark. And then just, I try to create an environment where it's not just three coaches, myself and my two assistants, but that every guy on the team is a coach. So I encourage everybody to be helping each other, and we have a good environment that way.
And you've had obviously great experience at the NCAA titles, having won NCAA titles four times in your career, 99, 10, 13, and 14. How does, and I don't like to make comparisons, but what do you share? I won't ask you to compare your teams, but what do you share with your current team about your experience in those 4 years?
When you go to the national championship, it's just like any other meet. Just go there, do your job. After day one, I told them just the other day, I said, after day one, we're not going to celebrate much. You can celebrate a little bit. You know, you'd be happy if we happen to win the prelims, and not a big celebration until the last routine is done, the last dismount is done. And then if we're fortunate enough to win, I told them, you can celebrate the rest of the year if you want.
So. That sounds like, just, that's a good
deal. It's kind of like what Lloyd did when the football team won the national championship. It's every step, you're climbing that mountain, and you never celebrate anything on the way up. You just keep your nose to the grindstone, keep going, and winning a Big Ten championship is nice. We were happy, but forget about that. As soon as it's over, celebrate it that day, and the next day, get back to work.
You mentioned, obviously, Lloyd Carr and that team that I was a part of winning the national championship. You've been around for 25 years now. What's the experience been like for you in regards to building relationships with other coaches in the athletic department? You've seen a number of athletic directors. What's the experience been like over the past two decades and a half for you, Ben Like?
Well, unfortunately, as we've improved our facilities, everybody's had their offices moved to they have satellite offices at their new facilities. Mm-hmm. So it's great that we have all these new facilities, but back when I first came here, just about all the coaches were in Weidenbach Hall. So you'd get to know them, and you'd see them on a daily basis and chat at the water cooler or in the mail room or what have you. And now we don't have that as much. At Weidenbach, there's only volleyball and ourselves. So, the newer coaches, I don't know like I wish I did. And in the old days, we did know each other. We walked up the street and had lunch together and so forth. So I miss that.
And you mentioned the facilities at Michigan. I know I obviously graduated in 98 and left. And when I came back, it was an absolute explosion in regards to what the student athlete has at their disposal now. How do you best utilize all of the tools or make the student athlete aware of all of the tools that they now have at their disposal?
Yeah, just, we start our practice with a lineup every day, and coaches make comments, and then the athletes we go around the circle, and then they have an opportunity to make comments. And I just continually remind them, they do voluntary weight room, but I'm always reminding them about the psychological help we have and all the help that's available to them. And just keeping them aware and pointing them in that direction.
So for our listeners, this is an opportunity to win an NCAA title. And you mentioned you're going to get there on Friday, or you're going to get there on Thursday, and then Friday starts the events. Walk us through what we should expect if we get the chance to follow along on the MGO Blue website. What will happen on Friday? What will happen on Saturday?
Well, there's 12 teams that qualify to the national championship, along with some individuals. And so we will have, we have six Olympic events, and we have six teams in our session. There's a 1 o'clock session on Friday, and then there's a 6 o'clock session, or I'm sorry, a 7 o'clock session. We will be in the 7 o'clock session. And so there's six teams in it. And then there's the two individuals attached with each team. So the individuals will go first, and then our team will go. And then we'll just rotate in what we call Olympic order. We'll be starting on pommel horse, and that's a pretty low scoring event. We selected to start there. And I picked that event because I think it's difficult to finish there. And I like to get, that's the hardest event, kind of like a balance beam in women's gymnastics. If we get out the gate and we have a good pommel horse team, if we get out the gate and get a decent score, that's the way I like to operate. And three of the four national championships that we've won, we've started on pommel horse. So it's worked for me so far. So that's what I selected. And then we'll go Olympic order, which will be, we'll start on pommel horse. We'll go to rings, then vaulting, then parallel bars, then high bar. And then we'll finish on floor exercise, which is kind of a high scoring event. I think it's a little bit easier psychologically to hear the announcements of Michigan in second place, Michigan in third place throughout the competition. I think it's easier to handle that psychologically than it is to be hearing that you're in first place. So with starting on pommel horse, ending on floor, floor tends to be a pretty high scoring event, and it's a little easier to close out on when you're tired and so forth. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll all work.
And so I've got to ask you this, because when my office was in Weidenbach, we'd see each other quite often around the water cooler. And you just listed off all of the events that you'll have. And I know your student athletes aren't quite the size that I have, but if I were to get into gymnastics, which event would you place me in?
I'd put you on high bar because you have a long body. You're a tall guy. And that a lot of good high bar workers are a little bit taller, and or pommel horse. And a pommel horse is, we've had guys that are 6 feet plus on the team, which is very tall for a gymnast. And those are the two events that the taller guys tend to excel on.
Well, I'll make sure to pay close attention to those and pick up any tips I might have in case I get a chance to hop on the pommel horse or the high bar.
Okay.
Hey, and I mentioned this too. The Olympics are this coming week or this coming summer. They're supposed to happen last year, but you have a former gymnast that will be performing in that. What will it be like for you to watch? And Sam Mikulic, Mikulic is the athlete that will be performing in the Olympics. What will it be like for you? And what's your interaction right now at this time? How much coaching do you still have, the opportunity to do with Sam?
With Sam, just an occasional, every month or every other month, just catch up and see how he's doing and so forth. He's training at the Olympic Training Center. He moved out there after he graduated. And so he's living out there, training out there. I know the coaches out there very well. He has great coaches, and that's a very good situation for him. I might add that we have another alumni who's in the running for the Olympic team as well. As a matter of fact, at the Winter Nationals, USA Gymnastics Winter Nationals, which took place about 2 months ago, four of the top eight guys are Michigan men. So two of them currently on the team, Adrian D. Los Angeles and Sam Mikulic. So we could have a couple of Olympians this summer.
Oh, we're excited to watch them this summer. We're more excited to watch you guys this coming weekend. And I'll finish with this one. With everything that's going on across college athletics right now and the budget restrictions that we're seeing, how important is it for men's gymnastics to, you know, when the Olympics come around and you have the NCAAs, how much of a boost do you see, you know, every 4 years in regards to just the popularity and the involvement of young athletes getting into men's gymnastics?
Yeah, it'll be busting at the seams. All the local private clubs, gymnastics clubs, right after the Olympic Games, especially if the U.S. does well, their sign-ups will be going through the roof. All the clubs won't even be able to handle as many athletes as they would like to, as it will be signing up.
Well, Kurt, I appreciate your time. Safe travels, and best of luck out in Minneapolis. We'll be watching, and obviously everything that that goes through our veins is maize and blue. So go blue, and best of luck.
Thank you, John. Go blue.
Well, thanks to Coach Golder for stopping by Conquering Heroes and giving us the rundown of what's going to happen this coming weekend in Minneapolis for the men's gymnastics team, as well as a little bit of a look ahead for some Wolverines that will be competing in the Olympics. We'll get a chance to talk to him again, hopefully, as the Olympics approach, as he's got a couple of former athletes that will be performing in there. For all of your Michigan athletics information, stay tuned here on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.